We're speaking with Hilary Hahn, whose Hilary Hahn Plays Bach is out on Decca October 5th. These pieces, the last three, if you will, the two partitas and the third sonata that you recorded as a first album, did it just seem like the right time? I know this album came over time that you know went through and spent some time recording each of these. Did it just seem like the right moment to do it?
I think I started really being serious about finishing the set when I realized I was twice the age that I had been when I recorded the first part of it. I thought, that's an interesting numerical fact. Maybe I should actually just finish it. Because when I made the first record, I wasn't thinking of doing a set. I just picked the number of pieces that would fit on a CD at the time. So it happened to be half of the six, three of the six. And that left, of course, the remaining three. And people kept asking me to record them. And I just wanted to have it ahead of me somehow. I felt like if I did it, then it would be done. And it's music that I enjoy playing and enjoy seeing as part of my future. So I kind of had been just putting that completion of the set off and pushing it off. But I went into the studio and I recorded these pieces, and I didn't really have a plan to release them. I didn't say, I'm going to record it for a release in this particular year with this particular plan around the release. It wasn't like that at all. It was just, let me record it and see what it sounds like. And then I went to listen, and I just didn't feel like it was the right time to listen to it. So I pushed that off a bit. And then before I knew it, a number of years had passed, and I thought, I should actually go back and listen to what I recorded, and I should probably make a plan to release it so that this does actually happen. So I wound up actually doing a couple of sets of sessions over a span of several years. And I love that about this record. It really represents a whole time in my life rather than two or three days of my life. It's really like what this music meant to me in these years that I spent recording it.
I might have a favorite Beethoven symphony, which might be different for listening than my favorite string quartet to play. And when I come to these, you know, sonatas and partitas that, you know, I think, this is my favorite fugue. And then when I listen to the, you know, fugue in the second sonata, I go, no, this is my favorite. You know, it's funny. and it's such music that we know. And yet if our listeners don't know these, I think they all just speak immediately. And I don't know if that's the genius of Bach or a little bit of your interpretation.
Well, I hope that my interpretation serves the music. I think the way Bach wrote these pieces gives a lot of license to the performer. He didn't specify a whole lot of things in the score. He did specify the notes, so he tried to stick to the notes. But really, what is a piece of written music but just a series of relative instructions? You know, this note is approximately this much higher than that note. You know, this is approximately this much longer than this note. So it's really just a kind of a skeleton outline of what the music is, and then you fill it in with your own sense of meaning. I think anyone who has listened to, I don't know, a top 100 pop song a certain summer of their life has that feeling that when they hear the music, they're taken back to that time of their life. And for me, these pieces all contain different times of my life, and they overlap with these memories and these emotional connections. So not only did Bach leave a lot of room for interpretation in the pieces, they also, for me personally, carry a lot of weight in a lot of different ways.
Thank you. you know, we've heard, you know, before the Encore project and even during that, we've heard these, you know, pieces played live after concerts and within recitals. And you're going to embark on some more recitals with these specifically. Is that, again, sort of fun to share? Because we know when you make a recording, that's a sort of a snapshot, but it's living, breathing music, so it will change whether it's in Vienna or whether it's in Washington, D.C.
That's true. Yeah, being on tour with these works will be really interesting because I have not until now done a full program of them, but I've played them in almost every concert that I've played as an encore after an orchestral performance, like a concerto, or as a piece in a recital program. So I'm excited to play a whole program of solo Bach and see what that feels like. I think it's going to be very natural for me, and I think I'll find even more new things to try with the music, because a lot of performance is affected by the context immediately surrounding it. So, of course, the hall affects it, what you just played affects it, what else you're working on affects it, and you get inspiration from all kinds of places.
I love that in some of the teasers, as you mentioned, the singles that have been coming out since June when you announced this, that sometimes you'll talk a little bit about how the music makes you feel, or sometimes you'll give little details about, oh, you know, I start this movement on an up bow for violinist. I love that you share those sort of details. Is that something that just comes naturally? Is it something like, oh, yeah, no, I wanted to make sure that this particular movement was out? How do you decide to tease this in this way?
It's kind of practical in a way. You know, what would people enjoy hearing? What really works as a standalone movement, things like that, as far as the singles that are released before the whole record comes out. I know that from my experience playing them as encores. Certain things work individually very well. So it's kind of stuff like that that helps us decide what to release first. But honestly, any of them would be fine. Any of these individual movements would be great. So sometimes it could just be a random decision, I suppose. But yeah, it's, you know, what do we want to roll out right now? And what will be nice to hear again when you're listening to the whole album through, if you've been listening to the single before. I really love so much of these pieces in so many different ways. There's so much to connect with. And for me, those little things that I've mentioned in the announcements of the singles, those are always on my mind. I just live with these little details all the time. And having played Bach in so many different contexts for so many different size audiences and ages of audiences and different settings and things like that, I have a lot of memories with every single part of each of these pieces. So it's just a matter of conjuring up one or two of those memories, you know, which one is the most at the foreground for me, and mentioning those if I'm talking about the pieces.
Hilary Hahn has, I think, about 84,000, 87,000 followers on Instagram. I see, you know, I look at the last couple of 100 days of practice and see, you know, 17,000 views, 20,000 views, and 50 comments. You know, it's amazing that, you know, this speaks to so many folks. And I think, I was thinking, I was like, well, you know, a large concert hall might have 2,000, maybe 3,000 people, or, you know, a playing for some kids or for, you know, some friends in a, you know, 50 person space. You know, the internet really opens things up. It's really amazing that your violin case is keeping track on Twitter. I didn't look to see how many followers, but I'm sure it's a very large number. Isn't it kind of crazy to think, you know, you might play a concert for 2,000 folks and online they watch and there could be, you know, millions of folks?
That is crazy. It's really nice, though. I think that music can bring a lot of people together in different ways. It inspires different things in different people. For some people, they engage with playing an instrument. For some people, they engage with listening to certain types of pieces. And other people just really like being in a zone where music is present. So by being able to connect in these different ways, I think it allows those personal experiences to happen with greater frequency. One thing that really surprises me is when I'm on Instagram, and if I start to write the hashtag 100 days of practice, I see how many posts are under that hashtag, and it's over 100,000. And every time I go to type in the hashtag, it's a higher number. So it's really nice to see that even something like practicing means something to people as practicers and as observers of practice. I think it's really transferable to a lot of other disciplines in life. There are so many mundane things we do every day just to make the day happen. And music winds up being this beautiful thing that arises out of these sort of mundane moments of practice. It's how you get to the point where you can really connect with people. So I think music plays a huge role in people's lives, and it's nice to sort of work in that field and see what it means to people.
I bet violin teachers and orchestra directors are quite grateful that the practice bug could be expanding.
There's never a shortage of appreciation from people who want their students to practice.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess I'd end. It's so lovely to talk to you, and congratulations on this Bach album. I guess I'd end asking, what's next? What's the next dream sort of project? Because I know there was a lovely video from the very first album out on Sony, and you sort of say, you know, I kind of like what I'm doing now. I play solo recitals, I play concertos, I play some chamber music. How is it to think about that, and what do you think for the future?
Well, at that time, I was still a student, so I was in a different sort of structure of my musical life. And now I have a lot of different things that I've done in the meantime, but I still have a variety of things that I do in the course of every year of my musical life. I've been doing a lot more contemporary music lately. I commissioned a set of 6 solo partitas from Anton Garcia Abril, who was one of the composers I commissioned for my 27 Encores project a few years ago. And I'm doing a world premiere of Aino Juhani Rautavaara's final work, which he wrote for me and Miko Frank and Radio France, the Orchestra of Radio France, and we're premiering that this spring. So I actually have a residency with Radio France this year in Paris, and we're doing tours. I'm doing the Bach project this year, and I'm working with some of my favorite colleagues also this year. I like to do chamber music. I don't have a steady group, so those are more sort of fleeting experiences for me. But I really feel very fortunate with the colleagues that I get to work with and with the projects that I get to do, the music I get to play. I feel like there's a lot of variety and a lot of meaning to it.
Well, congratulations, and thanks so much for everything you do.
Thank you.